All right, we're recording. Welcome everyone to the Rink Rat Report podcast. We finally made it to post game one episode. Fortunately, a little bit didn't go the way we wanted. As always, joined by Jason.
Yeah, disappointing loss. Never good to lose 5-1 in your first game. But hey, remind ourselves that where we were, I don't know, almost a year ago today, last year in the playoffs in the same position, down 7-3. In our first game, and we came out.
That one didn't feel really good well. Either. And what happened? What happened and, after? Hey,
we won. So
you were at home for that one. So there was that. But as they always say, the series starts once you lose a home game.
Yep.
The series really starts once you lose a home game. Well, in the case of the Leafs, they're kind of the lower seeds. So unless they lose four home games, then that's when the series really starts. But anyways, we're going to get into a bit of game one. What we saw, mainly we're going to make this a how, what needs to change for game two kind of thing. What are we looking to expect for game two? Number one is William Nylander going to play? I mean, we did get this little bomb from
Schmaltz.
Had him on Jordan Schmaltz. He had a nice little inside tidbit here. I'm trying to find. Ah, here it is. So Jordan Schmaltz is from @JA_Swish24. He said, Leafs fans, people's insider here, hearing some good news regarding the Willie Stiles Nylander regarding his availability for game two. Stand by as there are still some hurdles to work through. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's wrong with him. Bobby McMahon kind of seems more like that's an injury. I don't think he's playing game two. I think like that happened over a week ago. I kind of think he's week to week. I don't know if we see him this round. Like I really am kind of doubting McMahon for game two, especially because Nylander was out there for the optional skate. McMahon wasn't. We haven't seen him skate at all. We have no word on him, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. And I mean, I don't. Who's to know what's even happening with Nylander? Is it food poisoning? What is it like?
No, it tweaked something. They said.
Where I thought I saw that too, but then I couldn't find like a piece about it, I guess.
He said he noticed something in the off day. I don't know.
Interesting.
Really weird.
Yeah, it's just
and odd, especially like yeah. I think it's an actual injury. So we'll see.
I have some friends who are tinfoil hatting it and saying it's like a scratch because he didn't play well down the playoffs. And if that's like definitely not the case, but if that is like, I would hope that the organization would just like not let that happen at all. Like,
come on.
I doubt that that's happening, but yeah.
Scratching just, him. Could you even imagine?
That'd be nuts.
So number one thing looking to change for game two is to get William Nylander into the lineup, right? That'd be pretty nice. I mean, the one thing, like, he's obviously going to, like, if they keep the lines kind of the same, they would love to, it would be a huge boost not only to the third line, but I can see them doing what they did down the stretch where they were kept moving him up to the second line to get him those extra minutes. And then on top of that, the power play would look a lot better as well. For some reason, they put Cali Yarncroc, who hadn't played in a few months, I'd get like a couple months on PP1, over Tyler Bertuzzi, which I thought that was really interesting simply because it seemed like a pre-scout. When you look at the differences between Yarncroc and Bertuzzi, I guess they thought, okay, Yarncroc's game is kind of more similar to William Nylander's. It'll kind of fit well. He is a shot threat. He's more of a shot threat than Tyler Bertuzzi, but Bertuzzi is more so good in front of the net, right? So I think that was their pre-scout that, okay, we're going to really want that shot more than the net front, even though on that power play, they fed the net front a whole ton and just weren't shooting the puck. So that was kind of weird. When they were doing that, I was like, wouldn't you like Bertuzzi for this then?
Yeah. Well, I think I can guess why they wanted John Tavares there instead, right? Like,
but you could put Bertuzzi and Tavares. Remember last year, five forwards and they had Bunting and Tavares and how it worked? Or last playoffs, actually, when they had O'Reilly and Tavares?
Yeah, right? No, you're right. And I think they should do that because it feels like, I don't know, everyone was like, I know some people are like half joking when they post that picture of the like money puck, like expected goals, deserve to win a meter stuff. Like the Leafs on that 4-on-3 got like literally 6 expected goals in there. And it's like, but those are like pad stuffing expected goals. And like, you know, like you got to bury one of those.
Yeah.
I'm not using that to like be like, oh, we should have won the game. It's just like,
so yeah, to talk about like, the power play, I don't think was atrocious. It didn't do its job. Like a 4-on-3, when you have Matthews, Marner, Tavares, got to find the put, and him, Hampus Lindholm is not on the ice. Got to put the biscuit in the basket there. Like that was tough. I do understand what you mean. The pad stuffing, like they were decent opportunities, but at the same time, there were redirections just straight into his pads. Like it felt like it could have been, they could have been tipped better instead of tipped back into the goalie. Right. And like, on top of that, like Swayman's pretty deep in his net. You have a guy named Austin Matthews who kind of scored 69 goals this year. You couldn't have figured out a little bit of movement and fed Matthews on a one-timer or Matthews on a catch and release. I thought that was really, really missing from that power play. I thought that was kind of strange, but anyways.
Yeah. It's also like, how often do they like
practice,
like, practice a 4-on-3, right? It's like,
probably
I can see
not very often,
not often. Right. So unfortunate, but also fortunate. Yeah. It's just, it's funny.
Yeah.
You mentioned they had Lindholm off
the ice. And also it sucks
off the ice as well.
He was in the box. I think Domi took him in the offsetting. But it was also unfortunate because you had a 4-on-4 there. And your best 4-on-4 player is William Nylander, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because of the speed, that extra space. And who wasn't in the lineup? William Nylander. So that's the one thing. William Nylander into game two. If he's not in game two, then hopefully they adjust that power play a little bit. But I think just one by one, I'll say one, you say one. Mm-hmm. Why did they lose this game? You go first. Give me one read. Why did they lose this game? Like your high level, and then we'll go down from there.
I feel like they lost this game.
Because Boston scored more goals than us. That's number one.
To me, this team is like, this team is much different with and without the big three. If one of the big three is out, this team becomes the build and the make of the forward group just comes drastically different.
It's true. Okay. That's are taking up an ungodly amount of cap space, almost like half.
I know. Yeah. Obviously, maybe that's a cop out answer. And I'm not saying like Nylander needs to be like we need him. Like we actually need him because it just changes the dynamic of our team when he's there. Sure. Of course, because he's a nasty player. I'm stating like the obvious, but like I feel like this is kind of being missed in all of the hubbub of like the Leafs loss. It's like, yo, if any team is losing a 90-point player, like they'd be struggling too. So
97.
And I know that's simple, but we can get more into it. But yeah, that's kind of my reason.
That is pretty, it's
behind it. Yeah.
Like, well, you're missing a 98-point player.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good point. That is a very good point.
Yeah.
The big point that I wanted to put out there is penalties. And we could do penalties as the header.
Yep.
Penalties. You took 5 of them. What did we say going to? You don't have the facilities on the PK to be taking an extensive amount of penalties, right?
Yeah.
Who did the penalties come from? One from Jake McCabe, which was complete horseshit. That was a bullshit call. This is the playoffs, not the patty cake offs. Been waiting for days to say that one. Number 2 was on Simon Benoit, which kind of got caught up. It's like, it happens. That's a penalty. Okay. Whatever. Live with it. 3 penalties from your top line? 3 penalties from your top line, 2 in the offensive zone, 1 at center ice where Max Domi's lining up Brad Marchand's wrist and chopping it in front of the ref? Are you dumb? Are you obtuse? Is there fungi growing in between your ears? How fucking stupid do you have to be to take that penalty in the playoffs against the Bruins? How stupid are you? That was just a dumb, dumb penalty. The fact that the top line took 3 penalties and overall just wasn't that good and didn't generate much. They had 1 post because of 2 fuck-ups from Boston. too far. Like, it led to two mistakes from Boston for that line to hit the post, and that was it. They were terrible tonight, and those three penalties cost them the game. 5-on-5, it was 2-1. You got scored on twice on the PK. Three penalties, two in the offensive zone, is so egregious, and it's just dumb, and you're not going to win as a result of it. Just stupid, stupid, stupid hockey. And if Max Domi doesn't calm down in game two, he better be in the press box, because that was just wildly unacceptable, that performance from him. It was fucking terrible.
Yeah. That line didn't play well. And honestly, I was shocked. It felt like, I don't want to say that Keith was like waving the white flag, but like towards the end of the game, like he was obviously displeased with that first line, just based on how much, like how little time on ice everyone mm-hmm. other than Matthews got.
They had the most 5-on-5 time
as a line,
as individuals. They had more than I'm 99% sure. Look it up.
You're right. Bertuzzi, they did. I'm shocked.
Bertuzzi and Domi had more 5-on-5 time than Marner.
Yeah. No, they did. They had a lot, but I guess that's a function of them not playing.
Marner had to kill 3.5 minutes of penalties.
Played right? A ton. Holy smokes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me, stupidity. But yeah. They suck. No, but
offensive zone
penalties in the multiple offensive zone penalties and one stupid one in the playoffs. That's just pissed me off. That just showed I'm dumb. That's all it can say. I'm an idiot.
Were you surprised with the fact that they didn't split that lineup after those penalties? Felt like
I was happy they didn't, because finally we got some continuity. I mean, like, if you're splitting that lineup and then going Matthews Marner like right away in game one, come on, you gotta have a little bit. I understand they were terrible, but I wouldn't have buried, like, that's still your best offensive line, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So you gotta stick to the process and the homework that you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually haven't had total time. I don't even know how much time Marner, but 20 minutes. Okay. So that's why you only played 10 minutes of 5-on-5, but the special teams time. And then Domi was 14. 15. Okay. That makes sense actually in the end. But as I said, they had more 5-on-5 time than Marner, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So penalties on your top line. Don't get me started. Don't get me going again. What was your, we'll go down from there. So no Nylander. Okay. And dumb penalties. What's your next high point that you have for this loss?
I'm disappointed from the offensive output, obviously. Didn't score enough goals, but not just output in scoring goals, but like the things that you need to do to get there, right? Like in offense generation, I guess is what I was. We did have a lot of shots, but it feels like
how many were dangerous? How many?
I agree. That's the thing. It didn't feel like there were many dangerous chances.
Yeah.
And I feel like John Tavares has to do a better job finishing in front. Like, honestly, that's the big,
had the looks. Did he not?
He's the guy who had, he's the guy who like needed to score for us that game because he's the guy who's generating the chances. Right. But we need to find ways to get, and that's like part of the trickle down is it felt like, obviously I think the third line played okay, but it felt like they were kind of like useless and still that fast forward button third line that we were kind of used to on this team.
A little bit. I will say the Cali Yarncroc's chance off of the bad change from Boston. Do you see that? You remember that? That was a specific one that was nice. He took a shot off the rush. It went in between Swayman's arm right here, and it looked like he just put it into the corner easily. It actually hit off of his side, went through him, and then into the corner, which you're not supposed to do that as a goalie, but a save's a save's a save, right? So that was a great chance by them, but I know what you mean 100%. And that brings into the point. So that ties into your point with the third line. What was Kevin Pepetti's big point going into the series? It was Pontus Holmberg.
Pontus Holmberg's play. He is what he is. Like, it's like it was not play. Yeah,
it was meh, and he was -1 and then -2 with the empty netter, right? So
I'm not gonna kick Pontus Holmberg. Like, he's just kind of in the position that he's in, but felt like he's just not good enough as a 3C. So
it wasn't quite there, I'll say. So yeah, it was bland from the third line. I will say
that's the best way to put it.
Off the cycle, I didn't see enough high danger chances. I didn't see enough good shots. A lot of distance and then trying to whack in. A few times Matthews got the puck in the slot, but it was off of a pass that was into his shin pads. And then it's just like a hit on net, which is a weak. You got a lot of shots on net, like from decent areas, I would say, but you didn't get good wood on them, if that makes sense. You didn't actually get a good shot off. And it was just a kind of a whack at, not even a whack or a poke, I would say. You didn't get good velocity off of the shot. So not even a lot of good. You had an okay number, but yeah. And at the end of the day, the most memorable chances that the Leafs had at 5-on-5 came from the fourth line, I would say.
Yeah. Well, they scored. They scored our only goal.
They scored. That's one.
Yeah.
They got scored on, but they scored.
Yeah. They had a couple chances.
They had several chances in that one. Fourth line, I say, was fine. Get scored on. Okay. They scored a goal.
Yeah.
Like time of the game really does matter. It was 4-0 when they scored, but I thought they were playing well. It was one mistake, in the first period. That was it.
Yeah. And that mistake basically set the game off on the wrong, it's the first
shot of the game. It's tough. Yeah.
First shot of the game you get scored on after not dominating. Yeah. It was only 3 minutes, but
Leafs
were really controlling play, like being very physical, like, and it's almost like they were playing well. It's almost like they had to rein in that physicality as a result of being too hungry. And I feel like they had a good balance. They're still trying to find that balance of when to rein it in and when to be more aggressive and physical. So
unfortunate that it's game one of the playoffs. Still trying to figure that out. But
yeah,
the offense wasn't quite there. Wasn't a ton of relying a lot of dump and chase. The only real rush chances that we saw were, again, just off. It was, I would say, two bad Boston changes. There was one where Tavares walked in and had a decent shot. He took a slap shot, but Swayman easily held that one. Tavares, I believe, has scored off the rush on an open shot on Swayman this year. So there's optimism on that shot, but Swayman easily handled it. So yeah, my point then, so you had a good point, offense. So this episode, we want to be looking forward to game two. What do they have to change? What do they have to change for game two to be more successful in that regard?
Two things. And one of also the things that I think of the levels of things that were a problem. I didn't think Samsonov had a good game.
He was terrible.
I know that. Yeah. I know obviously listen, power play goals are going to happen, right? It was an odd man rush that pass across. That
first goal was not his fault at all. That's a great pass. That's a great shot.
But
your D's supposed to take care of the pass across. Yeah. It was a great placement. It's the first shot of the game. What the fuck? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I know. But we just need those saves and they didn't come that game.
The first one, I will give him a full, that's a tough, tough one. But then goal two. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Brandon Carlo.
Yeah.
From the top of the circles, you could have, people are saying he was screened. I didn't really see it. He's just dropping. The issue all game, you remember DeBrusk hit the post from a weak angle. DeBrusk hit the post off the rush. It wasn't even that good of a shot. Watch Samsonov's eyes on that shot. Just drops straight down. Kind of flinches on it and doesn't react, and it hits the post. It's the same. The screen goal, I need a better angle, camera angle on it, but it doesn't really look like he's playing that properly. I don't think he can get the far.
Yeah.
When you're looking around a screen, you're not going to be dead square to the puck because you have to see the puck to stop it, right? So you got to be looking through the windows of the screen to make the save. He's looking on the short side because he can't see on the far side. The shot goes far side and he doesn't track it. He just drops. Now, saying that, screens are very, very hard to play. I'm terrible at them. But at the same time, he just drops and that it goes in. It's he didn't make any good saves. I'll just say it.
Yeah.
You're right. He didn't make any good saves.
And it feels like that's kind of the problem with his style of play. He loses sight of the puck so often. Talking about the first, I know you're talking about screens and stuff, but also it's on the goalie to you're gonna get screened. You have to do your best to look around it, right? Make an attempt.
Make
an attempt to look around it, right? It felt like he
didn't do the greatest job I can see that. Yeah. I can see, but you didn't like, so, just the tracking around the screen. I didn't see the good process on it. Like, yeah, if it's going shorts, if you're looking short side, because the guy was standing not directly in front of him, but like a little bit to the right, where if you try to look far side, which is what you're supposed to do, the guy's handedness was on the far side. It would have been, had you had to look around the screen on the far side, but the guy was standing in a way, I think it was Marshawn, where you couldn't see around that way. You had to look short side, unfortunately. And if the shot's coming from on to the far side around that player, so this is how it was positioned. The player is on essentially my blocker side, how I have it here. This is my glove side. I'm looking glove side like this. It's a difficult play because you have to look around the screen, find the puck again, and then make that save. I didn't really see the attempt to go around the screen. I just saw him drop like this, and then it went in. And it's like, ah, well, overall, it just wasn't tracking the puck very well in that game. And that's very, very worrisome. I was more worried about this game than I was last year when they lost 6-3. Obviously, different circumstances from the regular season, but I just didn't see him tracking the puck very well in this one, and it just didn't look good at any point.
No, yeah, and you're correct, and because I tried to remember back to how I was feeling after, like you said, after game one last year.
And after game one last year, I got pressed a lot. Why wasn't the goalie brought up as an issue? Why wasn't the goalie brought up as an issue? I'm like, hey, relax. He's fine.
He was okay.
And he was.
Yeah.
This time I'm biting my nails a little bit, but he'll rebound. He will rebound. Yeah.
I hope so. So I guess you're talking about changes for next game. That's kind of why I brought up Samsonov, is you're saying he's going to rebound. That means you think for sure that he's going to start next game. No?
Listen, I was under the kind of, you know, give him some leash, give him like that second game start. I wouldn't be totally, it wouldn't be out of the blue to start Wool based on what I saw. He stunk.
So,
but I'm just trying to be positive.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. And friend of the show, Ben, tweeted this out, and it got like, I didn't think Samsonov had a good game. I was yelling at my TV, put Wall in. Once they started chanting Samsonov, it's like, throw Wall in right now, because he was getting cooked after goal three. But Ben said, if I were the Leafs, I would simply choose to play the best goalie on my roster in the playoffs instead of one who struggles massively with how Boston creates chances, low to high sequences off the cycle. So I think the two power play goals, correct me if I'm wrong, were low to high chances. And I think the Carlo was also low to high, but that's not, that's like very high. Yeah. Like, so,
Well, the issue is, I've seen a couple goals from Wall, who's not tracking pucks well off of, did I mention this last episode? A little bit. I didn't get into details, but there was a Bruins goal from Carlo on the blocker side. There was a goal last game against the Panthers. There was a goal against Luke Hughes in the first shot of the game against the Devils, where they were all, I kind of all lumped into the same. They were distance shots that Joseph Wool didn't really track very well. Mm-hmm. He wasn't tracking them in, and he was kind of still just trying to make a blocking play and waving at them, and he was missing them. Listen, that's three mistakes over a seven game, like, that ended up in three shitty goals. But yeah, but also Ben is a huge Joseph Wool fan. Like, he's the biggest Joseph Wool fan. So that's why he's saying play Joseph Wool. I can see it though. I can see them starting Joseph Wool in game two. Samsonov's really, really struggled in that one. Like, it wasn't like, I understand he let in four goals, but he really, really struggled in that one. And it just, the saves he even made, I was very uncomfortable on. So, you know, interesting.
It is what it is. And I would start Wall for next game. Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough spot to be in for us. It's honestly a tough spot to be in for us. So what are some other things you feel like we have to change for next game? Those things that you brought up.
It was,
because for me, like, obviously, like, will, like, William Nylander go, like, needs to go in like that. I know that's like doesn't count, but like, and I know I'm repeating myself based off that, but like, you know, we need Nylander, and like, I actually like our line, like, you could just like, we need some zest on that third line. It was too milquetoast, it was too bland. Like, we need that to happen. So
In terms of the lineup, like, I don't know if I love Tavares, Nyes together. I don't know if I love Marner, Nyes together, really.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. The issue is, like, you can't go – if you drop Nyes that third line and then it's Robertson – like, if Nylander's not in and you drop Nyes that third line and it's Nyes, Robertson, Yarncroc, like – Nyes, Holmberg, Robertson, or something like that. If Nylander's back in, then they do Yarncroc, Holmberg, Nylander. But like even then, I'm just trying to think. Like that second line left wing felt. I think Nyes struggled. Maybe he'll get better, but I don't like. Do you make a lineup decision? Do you make a lineup change there, in your opinion?
With the second line.
Yes.
I'm okay with Marner and Tavares together. If Nylander's like maybe moving Nyes off of the, maybe the answer is scratch one of Dewar and Reeves instead of Robertson, or maybe moving him to the third line. I could see Cali Yarncroc working on the second line. That's what I'm trying to get to. That's like my,
yes.
I'm like two steps ahead of that.
Yeah, like, I could, but like,
let's say Cali Yarncroc goes on the second line. Third line, it would then be Holmberg, Nylander, and Robertson, and Nyes, and I don't know. Or you move Dewar up. I don't know. But at the same time, like, I don't know why I'm resorting to Cali Yarncroc. It feels like Cali Yarncroc left a lot to be desired that game. Like, he didn't look too hot. Like, it looked. You could tell he hadn't played in months, right? Or in a month or so.
He had the one chance, but
he had a good chance, but you feel like he was like maybe
it was a wide open chance. Like it was the Red Sea's parted for him.
Exactly.
So that's a little like that McMahon injury kind of hurts you there because
absolutely.
You'd like that guy that's pretty good that can play a little bit off the puck, that's got a good shot. Like with Nyes there, he's not really that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where I have a question mark what they're gonna do there. I think there was just like a few turnovers that were just so easy to clean up. Especially there like on the second goal, Nyes made a turnover that was really bad. He was able to get it back, but then they kind of just were out of sorts. He turned it over again, and then that eventually led to the Carlo goal. Like just kind of cleaning up that stuff would be nicer game two. In terms of, I wish I wrote this down. I was ranting about this to myself all day, what they need to change for game two. But I think the lineup pretty much stays the same. Hopefully Nylander's back.
Lineup stays the same. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. There's a couple more things I want to get to with regards to changes for game two. But before we get into that, just want to give a shout out to our sponsor over at DraftKings. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff periods all the way to hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Listen, we're a Leafs podcast. We're Leafs fans, obviously. If you're still interested in that series price for the Leafs are down to plus 200 after losing the first game. So plus 200 odds on the Leafs to win the series. Hey, we were in the spot last year.
What's Tavares' anytime goal?
Tavares' anytime goal? I can tell you in a second. I don't know if they have those posted just yet because we're recording the night before here. They do have it posted. Tavares' anytime is plus 160, which seems a little high for me. But he did generate a lot of chances, so who knows? Anyways, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's code THPN for $5. And you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varied by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. They mixed up the words there compared to last time. They gave it to me in a different order, threw me off at the end, those numbers. But yeah, I think I was still able to hit that.
You got it. I think it was your turn. What happened in game one? What do we need to change for game two?
Okay, so this is like this isn't a change of like a coaching staff change or like a change that a coaching staff should make, but it's like a team level change. It's like our D need to be like 1,000 times better than they were last game. I think our D, like, you're like, I know last episode you were saying that we have the worst D core in the playoffs. Like we have one of the worst D cores in the playoffs, and they're playing like one of the worst D cores in the playoffs. Like no one was playing above their expectation in my eyes. Like everyone felt like they were kind of performing below their expectation. I'm worried about Morgan Riley. He looked like terrible. Like what happened?
Playoff Riley. What happened?
It was one game. Like, and I was like, literally in my head, I'm like, this is not the time that I want to be right about this guy. Cause again, with Riley, I was always like, everyone always said playoff Riley, but then again, it's like a 14 game sample. Sure, a guy can look good in 14 games, 20 games.
No, more than that. 14. He was good against Montreal, I'd say.
Montreal, Tampa.
I think it's pretty. He's been pretty consistent in the playoffs. No,
for like for 30 games, sure, but
around there.
So, anyways, the demons were like getting a hold of me of like, this does not need to be the time where like I'm vindicated about like my beliefs on a player like this. Like I don't need this right now. So there was that. But yeah, I felt like the D's. I don't know if you have to switch up the D pairing or what it is. I don't think they have to, but they just got to be better. I feel like Riley was really struggling on retrievals. Mm-hmm. Riley's the one who sticks out to me because like he played the most. But yeah, it's just got to be better. Period.
He was not very good. Just no offense from him. No offense off the rush. They really, really struggled off the rush in this game. I think Boston really successfully clogged the neutral zone and blocked their blue line. You saw it especially. Like Marner didn't have many entries in this one. A lot of dump-ins. Tavares was semi-successful on recoveries, but you know, I'd like to see a little bit more off the rush from Marner. Didn't get anything off the rush from Domi either. Like those are supposed to be your two prominent rush players, you didn't really get much from them, you know? So, rush offense is something that I would like to see more of in game two.
Yeah, they just got to be better with that. I think those are both good points. Anything else you feel like that needs to be changed? Well, also Nylander is going to help with that if and when he comes back.
Some speed there. What else was there? I did want to point out some stats. I think so overall, what do we have for changes for game two? Number one is stay out of the penalty box. Number two is actually stop the puck, no matter who's doing it. Just one of them needs to stop the puck. Yeah. The power play needs to be better, and that could mean personnel changes, or it could, and it also just means like, you know, taking shots on net. Who would have thunk?
Yep.
The penalty kill, if you get a penalty, that needs to be better. I mean, like, without Marner on the ice, Marner was on the ice for 3.5 minutes of penalty kill. Let me actually get this number straight because I'm going to botch it. But and I don't want to bury the lead in terms of, like, my surprise with what the stat is right now because it is a fun fact.
But, in what elk is it? Is it like what, like the fact that he didn't have a 5-on-5 shift for X amount of time because
it wasn't that on ice 4v5 penalty kill. There we are. Oh no, I screwed it up. One second, I'm in hard. Okay, so the Bruins were on the power play for 9 minutes and 20 seconds. The Leafs leading time on ice guy for penalty kill, 4-on-5 penalty kill, was Joel Edmondson at 5 minutes and 24 seconds. The top, Pontus Holmberg. This feels like the Adam Sandler me. Adam Sandler, what are you doing here? Pontus Holmberg was number one, 3:57. Penalty kill time on ice.
That doesn't seem right. That's crazy. Why was
what the hell? I missed that name there. 357. And he let in a goal. Yeah. Anyways, Mitch Marner was second amongst forwards. There we are. 339. He was on the ice for zero power play goals. And the Bruins scored two of them. Mitch Marner was pretty good on the penalty kill.
I believe Smith, I thought so.
Clean it up.
Yep. That's like, yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, I didn't love the first line. They did nothing. The second line, if I told you that the Leafs played game one of the playoffs and David Pastrnak wasn't very dangerous out there, didn't do that much, didn't have a single point in this game, like, wouldn't you expect them to have won?
Absolutely. Like, with those parameters,
the second
absolutely.
Line did a great job shutting him down. They did a fantastic job. Tavares, Nyes, and Marner did a great job shutting him down. David Pastrnak played just like 10 and a half minutes at 5-on-5. Probably a lot of power play in there. But 10 and a half minutes at 5-on-5. Marner, Tavares, Nyes played over 5 minutes against him. And he was nullified in this one. Obviously, you'd like more offense from the second line. But they did a great job shutting down the most dangerous offensive line on the Boston Bruins, which, like, going into the series, were we not saying Boston doesn't have scoring depth? You took away their scoring, and you still gave up two goals at 5-on-5. You still lost. Charlie Coyle beat the hell out of Austin Matthews this game, plain and simple. So, like your three line, they need to be better. Your forwards need to be better. You need to be better generating offense, plain and simple. You're not paying $11 million to shut down David Pastrnak. But it wasn't terrible. Marner wasn't terrible on the penalty. He was good on the penalty kill. He did his job, took care of business in the defensive zone at 5-on-5, didn't take a dumb penalty. But guess what? He needs to be better. Plain and simple, he needs to be better, obviously.
Yeah.
I just wanted to address that part.
Well, no, yeah, of course. And also, everyone has to be better. Like, everyone on the team had to be.
They lost fucking 5-1.
They lost 5-1. Like, I'm sorry.
We were down 4-0. It was just like fun game. It was a lot of puck possession, just not a lot of results. The penalties frustrated me beyond belief in that one. But that was number one. But it was weird. I don't think the Leafs played very well. But just looking back on it, you're like, you have the facilities to beat this team. This is not, there's holes on Boston. Just gotta not be a fucking moron.
Yeah. And like, speaking of the holes on Boston, like, it, like you said, like Pastrnak, obviously, like, he played, well, he was good. He played well for them. He was making their power play kind of go. He didn't score on their power play, but he was making them go. Like, they got chances with him. But he was shut down. McAvoy, I didn't think looked that good that game, right? Like, I thought we were able to, like, I don't think he did. I thought we were able to, like, win our minutes against him is what I'm trying to say. So it's like their better players were also not playing well, but they were still able to come out and win. So there's positives and there's negatives, I guess. It's just trying to look at the.
You want to hear positive. Something funny?
Let's hear it.
Who led the Bruins in points this game?
In DeBrusk,
It was Jake DeBrusk, correct.
Yeah, yeah.
What was Jake DeBrusk's on-ice 5-on-5 expected goals for percentage?
Probably got cooked. Did he get cooked or did he win?
9.66%.
All right, well, regression comes for all, baby. Like, that's what we're waiting for.
9.66%. What the hell, man? One scoring chance for 11 scoring chances against, but yet at 5-on-5. Oh no, I closed it. Oops, a daisies. He scored on 5-on. No, he had an assist at 5-on-5.
Just tough.
That's frustrating, is it not?
Yeah. Frustrating game. Anyways, though.
Nervous, we'll call it. Nervous, little undisciplined, little bit of nonsense here and there. But no matter if you lose 7-1, 8-1, 9-5, 9-8, 2-1 in quadruple overtime, You're still down 1-0. That's it.
Wipe the slate clean. On to next game. You get Willie back. We're humming. We're buzzing. We're going. Like, there's positives. We can find some positives.
They can win this. No problem. Just get your head out of your ass and put your stick on the ice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So was the frustrating parts too. This game that I had. I don't really have much else. Just again,
it's
everyone needs to be better.
Yeah. That's the bottom line.
Plain and simple. Yeah. Or else leaving Boston down 2-0. It's a little bit of a steep hill, we'll call it. So game wants to go Monday night, 7 p.m.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep. Monday night, 7 p.m. Yeah. You know what it was? It's that 8 o'clock starting time that threw everything off. That's what I'm gonna blame it on. Mm. That 8 p.m. start time really fucked us.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. Sure. Sure. We'll blame it all on the... Yeah, that's why Max Domi lined up Brad Marchand's wrist and tried to chop it off.
He was grumpy. He wanted to head to bed. He was
grumpy. Jeez. Anyways, so we'll be here after game two. Probably do something similar to tee up game three because we're guaranteed a games up until next Saturday. But we're going to go beyond Saturday. I'll tell you that for free. So
yeah. I hope so.
Do you have anything else for this episode?
That's it for me.
Honestly. Awesome. So game two's a go Monday night. Big win. We got a big win in store. That's all you got to say. They have a big win in store. They're saving all their goals for this game, for game two and for onward. Right?
Goal from David Camp. I hope so.
Goal from David Camp and you lost the game. Anywho. So that's all I have. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Go, Leafs, go.